Back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue with Election Night in America, the main event, 2016 election. My guests are Dr. Naomi Carter, political science professor here at Howard University, Brandon Cooper, vice chair president of Prince George's County's Republican Central Committee, and WHUR News reporter Bramante Bryant. We are taking as many phone calls as we can to hear about your experiences at the polls today. If you are out there voting, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go back to Andre in Montgomery County, we just got a report out of the WHUR newsroom that so far Donald Trump is now leading in Florida and Virginia, as well as Georgia. So some breaking news there. He has already taken Indiana, Kentucky, and we're also seeing that he has taken West Virginia now. That also just coming up. Hillary Clinton still only taking Vermont so far. We will keep you abreast of the latest updates as they come. Andre, are you still there?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. In Montgomery County, what's on your mind, Andre?
Nothing much. You know, it went pretty good for me. Like I said, I think especially the older crowd did the early voting, so they didn't want to stand in line. So I went to a local elementary school right next to my house. And I was in and out within probably 5-7 minutes. Good atmosphere, great attitude from everybody. Even got a cookie from the bake sale after that. So all in all, positive experience for me.
Well, there you go. And what is a cookie? I mean, what is voting without a cookie at the bake sale, right?
Yeah, the bake sale.
There you go. Andre, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Cheryl, calling from Bladensburg, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey, Cheryl, how are you? What's on your mind?
I'm good. Great. I voted today. I am a voter, and I voted today at Bladensburg Community Center. And I was in and out. It was really smooth. And I do know that some of my neighbors did early voting.
Mm-hmm. Was it crowded?
I was a little nervous. I'm sorry?
Was it crowded? And what time of day did you vote?
I went at 4 o'clock, and it was not crowded.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well, good to hear that, Cheryl. Thank you so much. No problems there. Before I go back to the phones, I must say I voted early in Baltimore, but midday, I went to several polling places, and several of them were virtually empty. I think that may have something to do with, as we reported earlier, that there were so many early voting votes cast for the state of Maryland, and that. For the state of Maryland, things have gone relatively smoothly. Also for Washington, D.C., more than 200,000 votes cast early. So that may have had an impact on the crowds or lack thereof in D.C. and Maryland.
Absolutely. Well, I voted in Prince George's County and voted early, and it was pretty crowded. And I was really surprised the number. And I went twice. The first time.
You voted twice?
Well, no. You're setting up the Donald Trump story.
Yeah, there you go.
I got out of line. It was so crowded that I had to come back a second day. So I would attest to at least that early voting, at least in the area where I voted. You know, there were a lot of folks. But it went smoothly. I will say that it moved quickly. I just had to get out of line the first time because I had my kids at home. And so, I had to...
It took me about an hour to vote early. I voted in Northeast. It only took me about an hour. And I was actually surprised. I was prepared for a longer haul because it was a lot of people there. It was packed.
If I recall, I think in Maryland, it's up 40% early voting. And so far, early voting was 30% of the total from 2012. So 30% of the voters from 2012 voted early this time. So,
but with that, Harold, do we think now, seeing how early voting is up in so many places where it's available, that trend will go back to allow more early voting? I mean, we know what happened in Ohio a few years ago, right, with the Secretary of State started cutting early voting, saying we're cutting it because of financial reasons. Others would say, you know, well, Ohio, they know who's voting early, and so is the Republican administration. Do you think there may be a move to sort of open up that early voting?
Let me say, just talk about what happened today in Clark County, Nevada, where the Trump campaign filed suit against Clark County for allowing early voting to stay later, to remain open later last Friday because there were so many people. Now, there have been the campaign accused the county or of rigging, you know, the election. A judge came down and squashed that lawsuit, you know, right away. Yep, absolutely. Squashed it right away. I mean, literally.
His lawsuit? You mean her?
Yeah, today.
Today's lawsuit's already been squashed.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen anything.
But an issue is that in Clark County, there is a huge Hispanic population. And some could argue that the campaign was concerned about the number of Hispanic voters on the last day of early voting in Clark County.
And it may be, but, you know, I think this does speak to the need to maybe rethink the way we do elections in this country. I mean, the truth is it may not be speaking to our needs. We're not farmers anymore who have to travel these distances. And so, I mean, clearly there is a desire for people to have more flexibility in their voting schedule than this Tuesday.
And I would say, I don't know, I feel like maybe it should be a national holiday, just like Christmas, voting day, so people can be off and go and vote. Because for me, things come out, and you vote, you know, 3 weeks. Some people are voting 3 weeks before the election. I mean, things happen that, you know, a lot of things, October surprises come out. I don't know, you know, I think we need to make voting accessible to everybody, but is really having a month-long or a two-month voting period really the best answer? Can we not make it so that, you know, again, a national holiday, like some other countries do this, a national holiday so people are off that day and people can have access to go vote?
Well, I think that means that we want more people to vote. I'm not necessarily sure we want to do that
because I
think that idea has been floated for a long time, and it makes a lot of sense. People have to take off work and do all this kind of...
Or a weekend, a Saturday, something.
Exactly,
you know?
Something that would make it more available. I'm not sure we're actually invested in making voting more available to people. And that's nonpartisan. I just think it's a real question because the rules were made at a time when our country was organized very differently.
Yes. Let me go back to the phone lines. Linda calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Linda. What's on your mind? Linda, are you there? Linda, give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deidre calling from Salisbury, Maryland. What's on your mind, Deidre? Deidre, are you there? Deidre, give me a call back, please. Let's go to Lauren calling from Sterling, Virginia. Lauren, hey, Lauren, how are you? What's on your mind?
I'm fine. My voting experience was well. Everybody was kind and pleasant. It was great civility. I enjoyed it. And that is the greatest thing was the civility that we had amongst ourselves. And it was fine. I only had two people in front of me. I waited about 16 minutes at most. And I was in and out very quickly.
What time of day was this, and where specifically did you vote?
This was at 6:15 that I went, and I was in my car in less than 20 minutes.
This was 6:15 in the morning or in the evening? The morning or evening?
The evening, I'm sorry. This evening, p.m.
Well, there you go.
Here in Virginia, the polls close at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So the later the time, they did say that early this morning, as people were going off to work, that the line was all the way down to the end of the street as people began to go to work about 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning when I asked about the full day. So this evening, it seems that people going home, the crowd was a lot less.
Okay.
But the greatest thing was the civility among people, people feeling openly able to discuss their candidate. So that was very good.
Well, Lauren, I want to thank you so much for participating in this conversation, and grab your popcorn. It could still be a long night.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yes. We have WHUR news reporter Troy Johnson on the line now. Troy, at a GOP watch party near the BWI Marshall Airport. Troy, how are you?
I'm good, Harold. Things are picking up a little bit here. A lot of reporters were in the room as folks are waiting for returns in the state of Maryland. But one of the primary candidates that folks are looking at, the Republicans are looking at here in Maryland to hopefully gain the Senate seat is Kathy Scilega. She just entered the room a little while ago, kind of making the rounds. But other than that, it's pretty quiet in here. A small room, not necessarily the largest outlet. And it's interesting, Harold, one of the first observations I noticed was that there are signs for Kathy Scilega and Andy Harris in the room. But up until a few minutes ago, very small signs for Trump and Pence. They just added a couple of larger signs. So it's interesting the way some Republicans in the state may be looking more towards the Senate and some of the other House seats as opposed to the excitement about the Trump-Pence ticket.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Brandon, because Maryland Governor Larry Hogan said early on that he was not going to support Donald Trump. He is he is not a politician. He is a businessman. He beat Anthony Brown, the lieutenant governor. He has become very, very popular. But from the Republican perspective, you know, who is Larry Hogan tonight? You know, where is he when you're talking about, you know, the broad spectrum of candidates and issues that he needs to support?
I think Larry said earlier this week that he's focused on being Maryland's governor for all people. So I think he has said that he does not see himself as being the head of the Maryland Republican Party, and he has done that in the last 2 years. He has not really participated in many of our fundraisers as Ehrlich did, and there's been some consternation from some of the establishment Republicans, not myself, but people like myself across the state, who feel as if he should be doing more to promote Republican causes in the state. But I think his decision is his decision, and I think it's paying off. As you said, he is 71%, I think, approval rating, higher than O'Malley ever had in the state. That is 2-1 Democrat over Republican. So I think he's doing what he needs to do to govern the state best, and I think he's also looking ahead to 2018 reelection.
I think Brandon has it right. I mean, I think Hogan understands the history of Maryland politics. You know, him, Ehrlich, and then Spiro T. Agnew. That's it in the last 50 years, right? Mm-hmm. So Hogan understands that as long as I'm not the demonic Republican scaring all of these blue state folks in Maryland, I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to initiate a whole lot of divisive legislation. I'm going to cut the I'm going to cut some poll, what you pay at the polls across the bridge, and I'm going to repair the roads. But he's really not proposing a whole lot right now that's divisive. And as you said, Harold, he came out very early. He didn't really bash Trump. He just said, I'm not going to support anyone. And he really wasn't held to the fire for that, because I think folks understand the way Maryland is set up and politically, that was a smart thing for him to do.
Well, I will say that Congressman Delaney,
he put
a bus out and toured the state trying to get Hogan to come out on a position on Trump, and that didn't go anywhere. So he did try to do it, but again, I think Hogan was able to navigate it.
And again, this is a local versus sort of national politics, right? They operate differently, and Hogan is in a state like Maryland. I mean, I think he is threading that needle.
And those red Republicans may be more RURPL. Not quite red, maybe not totally purple, but maybe RURPL, you know, something.
And it's not just him. We look at Massachusetts as a Republican governor. It's a blue state. Same thing. He's came out and said he's not supporting Trump either. So I don't think it's just, like you said, I think it's a strategy that a lot of blue state governors who are Republican are doing to survive and possibly seek a second term.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Raquel calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Raquel. What's on your mind?
Hi. I had an excellent experience in Howard County, Maryland. I took my children. We went in. It was less than 15 minutes, about 3:30 today. Really good experience.
Okay.
And no crowds whatsoever.
It appears, at least so far, and thank you, Raquel, for sharing with us, that the only reports of any severe problems were in the city of Baltimore, where you had some reports of some late starts. There were some reports of some issues. There were some reports of some issues about people not getting the second paper ballot to slide into the voting machine. I know the ACLU had done some reporting on that. Election Protection had mentioned that there were some issues. But overall, Maryland seems to have fared very, very well. Let me go to Jalea. Jalea, calling from Camp Springs. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. I called last night, and I told everyone to take a chair because of what was supposed to be in the long line.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to my voting area, no one informed us that we had been moved somewhere else. And come to find out, me and my husband, we voted provisional. We were told two separate things. We were told that the vote won't count for we were told three things. They won't count for 2 weeks. Then we were told after December the 15th. I said, well, why would one of them celebrate tonight? if they won't count until December the 15th. Then we was told if there are enough votes, they won't count at all. So we were very, very disappointed. We was very, you know, saddened that we didn't know the whole process of this provisional voting. And I feel our people, someone needs to be informed about this, because we were told every vote counts, and now we're being told something different. So if someone could elaborate on that, school me, I would really appreciate it.
Can you hold on? I've got to take a break, then we'll come back, because I want to be clear. You did vote provisional?
Yes.
You did. Okay. Hold on. We'll talk about that on the other side. We are at Election Night in America, a special edition of the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. The main event. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. To the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is, of course, a special edition of the Daily Drum, Election Night in America, the main event, 2016 election. I want to go back to the phone lines. Jalea had a question about, apparently her precinct was moved when she went to vote. Is that what you were told, Jalea?
Yes, that's what we were told. So we stayed, you know, because there was nobody there. We thought it was strange because when we were there several years ago for Obama, I mean, the line was very long. And I told everybody bring chairs. There was probably 5 or 6 people there, which we thought was strange. So my husband just assumed it was a lot of early voting.
I see.
So when we went through the process, as we were going through the process, we were finding out this different things being said about this provisional voting.
Mm-hmm.
But the last thing that we were told was that if there are enough elected votes, they won't even count our votes. Mm-hmm. We put them in a sealed envelope,
mm-hmm.
and they may or may not be open or used. And I guess I wanted to be a part of the process that my vote actually counted.
Brandon, and then Dr. Carter.
Yeah, so I wanted to double check. I worked in about campaigns in Maryland for about 6 years. I went to the Maryland State Board of Elections website just to confirm it just now. And actually, your vote will be counted. I'm looking at the Maryland State Board of Elections website. They will start counting your provisional votes next Wednesday, no matter if it changed the outcome of the election or not. So rest assured that your vote will count just as a regular vote.
Dr. Carter.
Okay.
Well, I think the one thing about provisional ballots that people need to know is that they are guaranteed to receive one. So if there is some dispute about their registration, that they should ask for one and should be given one. Whether it counts or not, I mean, I think it depends on the state-by-state basis, because a number of them are purged if they're not needed. And I know it makes people disappointed that their quote-unquote vote was wasted. But at some point, you stop counting because the person is clearly won. And there's really not going to be a change in the election outcome. So that does happen, or if there's some inability to confirm a person's registration information, a lot of those ballots get purged for preventable reasons. But provisional ballots are your right. If you know you're registered to vote and there's some dispute, you ask for one, you are to be given one. And as the lady just explained, they're sealed and then they'll be counted at a different time post-election.
And one of the other things, and we've been talking about this on the Daily Drum for, you know, for weeks now, it is so important for voters to do their homework and to understand where they are to vote if they want to be, you know, part of the process. Because, you know, as Brandon says, things can change election to election, whether it's presidential election to presidential election or midterm election to midterm election. And I've been voting at the same place now in Baltimore since 2002. However, there is always a chance that because of population shifts or other kinds of things that in 2 years, my precinct may move. And so it's always important to make sure that you are armed with all of the information. But I am glad, Jalea, that you and your husband did have a chance to vote provisional and that you continue to participate in the process. So thank you so much for calling not only last night, but sharing your experience today as well. Vanessa, calling from Southeast D.C. Hi, Vanessa. What's on your mind?
Well, I just like to say I hope that everybody has been listening to what he's been saying.
In
Donald Trump.
I see.
Forgive me, Donald Trump, because the things he's been saying are very negative. Just go back and just listen to it. And I mean, it really doesn't make any sense to anyone. And we don't want to put Lucifer in the White House.
Well, let me say this, Vanessa. No matter what your opinion happens to be about Mr. Trump or Ms. Clinton or any of the other candidates for president or down ballot, we could argue that the time for listening is now over because the votes are cast in our area, just here in the D.C. metro. You have 7 minutes to get to the polls in the district. And so, you know, suffice it to say that, you know, the deed is almost done. But did you vote today?
No, I voted 2 weeks ago, actually, because this is my surgery that I had on my knee.
Okay, well, I'm glad that that you did have a chance to vote. How's that knee doing now?
Well, it's still off balance, but I'm here, thank God.
That's right. Well, don't let anything keep you from making your voice heard. So, Vanessa, thank you so much. I've got about 7 minutes, and I kind of want to go around and talk very briefly about what we should be looking for, listening for, besides the obvious tonight, Dr. Carter. Key states, key problems, your thoughts.
I mean, of course, North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, the usual swing states, we want to pay attention to those places. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, who shows up for who, because there's been a lot of conversation and a lot of get out the vote efforts on both sides. And I think it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen in Nevada. Right. Where are Latino voters going? What are Asian voters doing? What are Black voter turnout going to look like for Hillary Clinton? I mean, I think Black women are key in this election, and I think we need to see how they shake out for the Democrats here. On the Republican side, I mean, I think the same concerns. I mean, who is showing up? I mean, lots of people can say they support you, but are they going to cast a ballot on that day, I think, is the real question. And I think Donald Trump in those same states is going to be looking for every vote because it's going to count for both of them. Every single vote in those states counts.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that's important to look at, obviously, the presidential election is important, but we're also talking about what's going to happen in the Senate, right? The Democrats need to really only flip 4 states. If they flip 4 and Hillary Clinton wins, obviously, then it would be a 50-50 tie, and then the Democratic vice president would break that tie. So I think that's important. Also, to me, it's interesting Dr. Carter talked about North Carolina, but Arizona is also important because Mitt Romney won North Carolina and Arizona in the last election, and now North Carolina and Arizona are in play for Hillary Clinton. I know Brandon is shaking his head. We know how important Florida is. But remember, they asked John McCain about Donald Trump today, and John McCain said, you know, I am not talking about Donald Trump. Right. I am not talking about Donald Trump. And to Dr. Carter's part, there's a large Latino population in Arizona. So I think Arizona might be
Nevada. I definitely think is in play. I think he may actually lose Nevada and Florida as well. But I just don't think Arizona or even like people are saying Georgia. I don't think Georgia's going to flip.
Okay.
But yeah.
No, please go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I was about to say what you look forward to. I think obviously, again, if you asked me this morning who I thought would win, I would say the odds are that Clinton would win. Trump has a narrow path, but to look for things, I guess, coming up as the polls close at 8, Florida. Again, Obama has won Florida both times. And so looking at the returns, I think going into the election today, Trump was up by the margin of polls by like, you know, less than 1%. So seeing whether or not Trump wins, if Hillary wins, it's over. She's the next president. If Trump wins, look at the margin of it. If he's winning it just by a little bit, if he's winning it, you know, around Bush's level, he won it both times in 2000, 2004. Florida's going to be key. North Carolina, New Hampshire, Vermont, those are on the East Coast. And then we got to wait a couple of hours for the other polls across the country to close. But I really do think Florida and North Carolina are going to be two very important states.
But isn't the thing about Florida, though, where it's key for Trump is really the difference is it gives him a chance.
Exactly. No, exactly. It gives him a chance. Exactly.
Where Hillary, we know if she takes Florida, it's
game
pretty
over.
Much over. What do you say, Dr. Carter?
It's talking about, so what are going to be future trends for these places that we thought were reliable, right? Like, Florida was a reliable, like, what does that mean now?
Mm-hmm. Florida's always been a flip state. I mean, you know,
right,
remember 2000 with Gore and Bush.
But still, I mean, I think it does raise questions about that old electoral map that we looked at in very particular ways we might have to look at differently. And it's about a candidate, right? And it's a little bit different.
And he won't lose Arizona. I don't think Donald Trump will. But I think it'll be too close than it has been in the past. And like you said, that will give signs to the changing electoral map for 2020 and beyond.
Well, now we've got some down ballot information coming in. Ohio Senator Rob Portman winning re-election. So that Republican seat is safe. So again, there are these questions about what's going to happen in the Senate and whether or not some of the sharp-edged issues and comments and controversies that have been brought up by Donald Trump have affected what may happen not only in the House, but certainly in the Senate. Ohio, you could say Florida, or you can say Ohio. And now, you know, one of their, you know, key Senate seats for the Republicans, for the GOP in the Senate, now safe. Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, Bramante, in the event of a 50-50 split in the Senate, that any Senate vote would be broken by the vice president, whomever that vice president, you know, happens to be. So, again, right now we are looking at Indiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia going for Donald Trump, Vermont for Hillary Clinton. There's discussion here on the web that Clinton is confident about Florida. She has a razor-thin edge over Donald Trump in North Carolina with nearly a third of the vote reported. And we're talking 49% to 48%.
Yeah. And that's where I think that, you know, the black turnout is probably going to be important when you say Dr. Carter. And it's probably hard to expect to get the same turnout when you don't have President Obama on the ticket. And so I think that could flip that election either way.
But she doesn't need it. She doesn't need that level of support. Right. She just needs black people to show up. She
blue wall is crumbling at each, you know. So
I don't know about that, but she definitely needs that
turnout.
It's
a good line there, Brandon. I like that.
She went to Michigan. Come on, man. She went to Michigan campaign and they went hard. You can't say it's not crumbling.
Okay. But like Jalea said, get your seats ready. Get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a long night. I want to thank Dr. Nyambi Carter, Brandon Cooper, and of course Bramante Bryant. Thank you so much for sharing with us this evening. Lots to do, lots to report on tonight, and we will be here until the end. That is this special edition of the Insight segment on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this election night, November 8th, Tuesday. You can, of course, reach me at Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, Twitter at H Fisher WHUR, or at Daily